Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this 6th of February 2019. I'm your host, the Real Gerald Quinn, discussing the world of sports and pop culture. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to my Instagram page at Real Gerald Quinn. Again, currently streaming live here on YouTube, my own YouTube channel. This podcast will be available via Blog Talk Radio sometime early tomorrow morning, if not late tonight. As of yet, no major trades. I think it's Tobias Harris is in a all-star caliber player. He's having an all-star caliber season. So I think he, that's a big trade. But again, no big fish. And we talk about no big fish being moved. We're talking about, of course, Anthony Davis has yet to be moved. Looking more and more likely that Anthony Davis will not be moved. And that if that is the case, that's certainly the smart move by the New Orleans Pelicans. They should be in no rush whatsoever to move Davis, despite the fact that, the reports and people around him and Clutch Sports and certainly his father does not, would not want him on the Boston Celtics. If, your New Orleans Hornets, you look past that and take the risk of maybe not being able to passing up on a Laker deal right now in order to possibly get Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and a number of picks that the Boston Celtics have at their hands, including picks from, Memphis, picks from the Clippers, picks, all types of draft picks that the Boston Celtics have at their disposal. Now, where those picks fall, could be a lot of things that can go into in terms of where those picks falls, who knows. But the bottom line is Boston has the best possible deal on the table in terms of New Orleans. But will Boston be in a position to, Kyrie Irving? So a lot of moving parts with this thing. Again, if you're New Orleans, you are taking your time. You're in absolutely no rush whatsoever to make this move. All the pressure is on the Los Angeles Lakers. And we know the pressure's on the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers know the pressure's on the Los Angeles Lakers. So if I'm the Los Angeles Lakers right now, I have to, even if I don't make the move for Anthony Davis, don't get Anthony Davis by the 3 p.m. deadline, which is tomorrow for the trade deadline, you have to start thinking about, start thinking about Plan B. You have to. You cannot put everything into Anthony Davis now and into the summer and end up with Kemba Walker. So to me, if I'm the Lakers, I'm putting everything. Yes, I'm going all out to get Anthony Davis, but at the same time, you have to have a plan B. I've been hearing, it's just been for whatever reason a foregone conclusion that Kawhi Leonard would not come to LA, and I'm like, why? If I'm the Lakers, if that's the case, I would reach out and try to convince him and get feelers on why he wouldn't want to come to LA, or is just strictly playing with LeBron. I'm just not dismissing a Kawhi Leonard. Again, Klay Thompson is a pipe dream. Other guys you just wouldn't have an interest in, like a Kemba Walker, some other guys as well who may be free agents. I wouldn't touch Jimmy Butler myself, but they might even get desperate and they even might possibly have to give Jimmy Butler $150 million. Who knows? But again, when this thing possibly gets passed February 7th, it changes everything for the Los Angeles Lakers. It puts the Lakers in a position to where now they are not the only game in town. And so, Boston's in the mix. The Knicks could be in the mix. I'll just some other team, a surprise team could be in the mix. The Clippers could be in the mix. I mean, who knows? The Clippers could pull off something to trade for and sign for to trade some of their free agent pieces, to trade some pieces, move some pieces. Who knows? It would have to be a trade. So Clippers probably wouldn't be in the mix for a trade, but in terms of as a landing spot, Clippers say, hey, Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard. If the Clippers are smart, they're putting out feelers right now. Hey, Kawhi, would you be up for playing? Could you think you would want to play with Anthony Davis? But the Lakers have to have a plan B. You cannot, you have to have a legit plan B. Now, there's no plan B that will be as good as Anthony Davis, but you have to have a plan B. And right now, Lakers are out of the playoffs. You wonder again. You wonder about LeBron's mindset moving forward in the season. For this season, is LeBron gonna go all out? Is LeBron really gonna go all out to be an eighth or seventh seed in the Western Conference? To be an eighth seed and to have to probably more likely face a Golden State in the first round. I wonder if LeBron would rather not even make the playoffs than be again, buzzard meat for the Golden State Warriors possibly. So the Lakers are in a tough spot. We knew, and we said this on a previous podcast that, more than likely, if the Lakers wanted to land Anthony Davis, it needed to get done by February 7th. And indications as of now, again, things could change in the next 17 and a half hours or so. But as of right now, it doesn't seem like that New Orleans is gonna move Davis to the Lakers. Again, it's not a case of what the offer. I mean, Lakers are offering them basically everything, draft picks, the whole. New Orleans would get basically everything they wanted. They would get more, like they would get. You're talking about Ingram, Zubac, Kuzman, even guys like Lonzo Ball. So I mean, it's not even a case of the offer not being there. But I think it's gotten to a point where the Pelicans have absolutely have come to their senses. Like they're not going to panic. They have no, and there's no reason why they should panic. They don't care about, and it's not a big deal for the Pelicans to sit Anthony Davis for the rest of the season. It's not a big deal at all. Like that, it's New Orleans. It's not New York City. It's not Chicago. This is not some big time basketball city that's going to go crazy with headlines day in and day out. Talking about why is Anthony Davis not playing? They know they're gonna know why he's not playing. So they won't. It's not gonna be a big deal for them to sit him out for the rest of the season. As of right now, he's gonna sit out for the remainder up until the All-Star, up until the trade deadline, through the trade deadline, depending on whether or not a deal gets made. So there's a chance. I mean, there's a chance that Anthony Davis may not play again this season. There's a very good possibility that you might see the last of Anthony Davis. So again, nothing to speak of in terms of that deal going. In terms of that deal, Lakers are in a hoping and waiting, basically hoping and waiting to receive maybe a last minute call or something New Orleans might want that they. That could be a deal changer or a change of heart, change of mind, but more and more likely, seemingly like that is not going to happen. Of course, we mentioned earlier, Tobias Harris has been moved to Philadelphia. Philadelphia, in return, gave up a couple pieces, but more importantly, the Clippers will get that 2021 Miami Heat pick, which. Who knows? Could be a lottery pick. be a lottery pick in 2021. I don't expect the Heat to be very good. It could be a top three, top five, maybe even top five pick. I don't expect that that pick will that the Heat will be. I know the Heat that you know. I know the Heat is not into losing, doesn't try to lose, but I don't expect that that pick that pick will be. I don't expect that pick. I expect that to be a very high pick, without question. And I don't expect Miami. I know Miami doesn't. I know Miami doesn't like. Is not a believer in tanking, but they just might just be that bad to a point where it might not make a difference whether they want to tank or not. So again, I understand what the Sixers are trying to do. The Sixers are trying to put all their chips in. They want to try to win a championship this year. They want to try to win a championship this year. So, and which is fine. My point is, if you're the Sixers, does this free you up to make a move possibly before the trade deadline to move Jimmy Butler? I don't think it's going to happen, but is a possibility. Could you get a number of good piece young? Could you get a number of, could you get some shooting? Could you get some draft picks? Could you get some good role players, some bench players for Jimmy Butler, a lot of quality bench players for Jimmy Butler? No question. I don't think, I just think the Sixers are just trying to stack their team as much as possible with their first five or six players and then and use that to compensate for what is a weak bench. Now, Tobias Harris does give him shooting, does give him shooting. We'll see how offensively, he's probably a better fit than even Jimmy Butler is from spacing and the fact that he doesn't need the ball. Isn't a guy who's going to pound the ball. Isn't a guy who's going to be a low maintenance offensive player. I don't think Tobias Harris is a pretty efficient player in terms of how he's shooting. He doesn't need the ball a lot in his hands in terms of ball handling, things of that nature. It's going to be should be a decent locker room player. But give the Clippers credit. I give the Clippers credit. They have a lot of draft picks. They get the draft again. That Miami draft that that Miami draft pick in 2021 is a big piece. They now have some moves. Again, they can do some stuff if they want to. They might. There's been talking to them possibly moving Lou Williams. He has a great contract. Very cap friendly contract, one of the better contracts in the NBA for a player of his caliber. So don't be surprised if he gets moved by the Clippers tomorrow, next week, not next week, but tomorrow before the deadline. Again, Clippers think of themselves being LA as a possible as or a ton of cap space as a owner who knows is wants to spend money. They think of themselves as being a destination spot, without question. So the Clippers are looking to make some moves in the summertime in terms of free agency. They will be absolutely in the mix with Durant, Kawhi Leonard, guys like that. Maybe Jimmy Butler to a lesser extent, some other free agents as well. Again, this move again as far as the Sixers goes, I don't have a problem with it. I know what the Sixers are trying to do, especially coming off just another beat down at the hands of the Toronto Raptors, a team that they just absolutely cannot deal with what's as currently constructed whatsoever. I don't think see the thing about Philadelphia is it's not about talent with them. It's not like they didn't come into a season. Now maybe you could have said that this first variation of them when they had SARS, Covington, guys like that, that they maybe didn't have enough talent versus a Toronto versus a Boston. Maybe you could say, forget about it, but let's put Milwaukee aside. Now it's not a case of talent as of right now. They have enough talent. It's a case of do those guys enjoy playing basketball with each other? Do those guys enjoy playing basketball with each other? Because the Philadelphia team I saw with Jimmy Butler is a team that won games based off their talent. not about execution, not about playing harder than most teams. They won games based on their talent, that they were just that much talented than most of these teams, especially in the Eastern Conference, and that's how they won the majority of games. Again, I know they had a great win last week against Golden State. I understand that. Again, no Klay Thompson, keep that in mind. But they, again, there's something not right with that team. Again, we'll see what it looks like with Tobias Harris. Three scores is, Ben Simmons is perfect as far as being a facilitator for that team. You have three legitimate guys that can put 20 points on the board with Embiid, Harris, and also, of course, Jimmy Butler. But again, it's a case of do those guys enjoy playing basketball with each other? That's what I think this comes down to when I look at the Sixers. I don't question the Sixers' talent. We know they have two blue chip players. Well, in essence, three blue chip players, three all-star caliber players, but can this mesh over time? Is it enough season for this to mesh in regards to someone, when you have four players that can all score? And even Ben Simmons is not a prolific scorer, but he still needs the ball in his hands. It's going to take some time for that team to develop chemistry, and we won't know until probably April or so, late March, early April, whether this team enjoys playing basketball with each other. But again, you can't knock Elton Brand for making this move. Also, you have a couple of smaller moves. A couple of Otto Porter's out in D.C. That's a salary cap move. Wizards get rid of Otto Porter. He goes to Chicago for Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker. Again, this was all about the salary, all about the Wizards getting under that salary. You had Thon Maker for Stanley Johnson, if you care about that. The Lakers did make one move. They got Reggie Bullock. So ex-Clipper, now formerly ex-Detroit Pistons. So he is decent. I mean, I think Reggie Bullock is actually a pretty good player. Decent three-point shooter, as the Lakers, desperately need some shooting to go around LeBron James for driving lanes, of course. But nothing outside of Tobias Harris, nothing major on the horizon as of right now. There's been a lot of talk about Gasol and Conley being on the move. Utah was in the mix. Toronto was in the mix. Toronto was supposedly in the mix, trying to pull out a classic Jiří move to where, Toronto GM Jiří just doesn't care about shaking up the apple cart. He's going for it now. He's going for it this year. He knows Kawhi Leonard more than likely is going to be a rental. So he's going to go, put his best foot forward now. Rather than mess around. So we'll see. If Memphis can move one, if not both those players. We know Memphis is not going to make the playoffs. We know, they've been one of the worst teams in the league over the last month. And they, at this point, it's play the young players. And just play their young players and get the highest draft pick possible so that they won't have to give it up. I think their pick, their Boston pick, is top three protected this year, maybe top six protected next year. But if they finish in top three, they will keep that pick. So I think that's what their goal is right now. So that's where we stand with the NBA. Again, Lakers just got embarrassed last night to Indiana, about 42 points. That was clearly a game where, you could want to say these trade rooms are a distraction. Indiana made a bunch of threes, and Lakers just absolutely did not show up. And again, it'll be very interesting to watch LeBron James's mentality over the course of the rest of the regular season. This is a guy who is used to being able to navigate and kind of cruise through the regular season Now all of a sudden he's in the playoff push, and that playoff push does not look like it did Christmas Day. Like, you know, fourth seed pushing possibly to have a second best record, maybe second best record at that time, one of the best records in the Western Conference, to now pushing towards possibly an eighth seed. So it's a different type of playoff push, and something that LeBron James is certainly not familiar with. So it'll be very interesting to see how the rest of the regular season turns out, how LeBron navigates the rest of the regular season, because then again, he's not been put, hasn't been in this position in well over a decade, since maybe his third year, his second year in Cleveland, when they remember they missed the first 2 years, missed playoffs the first 2 years, and in his first 10 year with the Cleveland Cavaliers, when he was, you know, much of course first basically starting out in the league. So we'll see what happens with that in the NBA. Of course, the NBA trade deadline tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. Again, I don't expect anything to happen with Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis will remain a Pelican, and the Lakers are going to be sweating bullets basically come July 1st, come summertime, with trying to get something done with the Pelicans, and with having to deal with what a lot more competition, specifically from the, of course, their hated rival, the Boston Celtics. As far as the NFL goes, one story of note: Nick Foles declined his contract option for $20 million. You repaid the $2 million signing bonus from this year. He is not out. He has a chance to be an outright free agent, depending on what the Eagles want to do here. The Eagles could franchise tag him. If they franchise tag him and Foles signs it, Foles will be paid $25 million next year. If he doesn't sign it, the Eagles, you would think, will try to trade Foles. Now, again, they've been talking about Foles could possibly make it difficult for them to trade him, to trade him on and to tag him and trade him. The NFL is not going to block a guy being tagged and attempted to be traded. It doesn't happen often that guy gets tagged and gets traded, but the NFL is not going to try to block that. So the question is, what do the Philadelphia Eagles do with Nick Foles? Is somebody willing to give up a first-round pick for Nick Foles? To me, if I'm the Eagles, I would not tag him, because I wouldn't want to be playing a backup quarterback $25 million. And I say that, you're saying, well, if they tag him, you're assuming that Nick Foles would sign. I think he would. I think Nick Foles wants to be outright free from the Philadelphia Eagles, and wants to do two things. Number one, he wants to start somewhere else. And number two, he wants to sign a major contract. The only way those things can happen on his terms, not the Eagles' terms, is if the Eagles did not tag him and outright let him become a free agent. I don't think that's going to happen. These teams always want something for a coveted asset, which Foles is, even at the age of 30, even though he's not been a great regular season quarterback for the most part. But I think Foles, I think the Eagles will tag Foles and try to trade him. What kind of compensation the Eagles will get back, all it takes is one team. I don't think anyone's giving up more than a second round pick for Nick Foles. I don't think anybody's giving up a first round pick for Nick Foles. I don't know what the Eagles' expectations are in terms of what they are expecting for a draft pick. That would be an interesting question to know what they would be expecting to get back in terms of compensation. But I don't think they're not getting the first round. I don't think they're getting the first round pick. I just don't. For Foles, but we'll see what happens. We'll see if they tag him. We'll see if they tag him or outright just let him, just, you know, cut him loose, not cut him loose, but or just do nothing and outright let him allow him to become a outright free agent. Again, I don't see that. I just don't see that happening. And I don't think it would be the least if you only get like a third round pick. A third round, you still could package that, or that third round pick could be a good player. You get a second or third round pick could still be a very good player. For if you're the Eagles, so I think you, if you're the Eagles, you have to get something for Foles. I don't think you can let a guy who's a respected, who's a top flight backup, and a guy who is a fringe starter and a top flight backup, and the guy who is a Super Bowl MVP, walk away for nothing. Real Deal Podcast on the 6th of February. Happy Black History Month. First podcast of the new month of February. We were supposed to do one on Monday, but again, I was feeling extremely under the weather. I mean, I was from Friday night, from Friday afternoon to Monday evening, I was done physically. You know, if I had a touch of the flu, whatever was going around, I absolutely had it. So, just been, you know. A lot, you know, spend a lot of time with me in my bed, basically, and some orange juice and what have you, over the past, this past weekend. But again, got a lot of chance to watch, of course, watch a ton of college basketball, some NBA, and of course, that big game in Atlanta where my worst fears came true, and that was the New England Patriots taking home yet another Super Bowl championship. Their third in 5 years, their sixth overall. A game that I actually was into a lot more than most people. I like defense. I like great defense. And I respect great coaching. And though Wade Phillips and Bill Belichick put on absolute, you know, master courses in defensive coaching. There's no two ways about it. McVay is taking a lot of heat. And when you only put up, when you're supposed to have one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL, and you and the highest scored offense over the last 2 years, they were averaging like 31.4 over the last 2 years, and you only put up 3 points in a Super Bowl game, you're gonna take heat. That's all there is to it. Now, I still like McVay. I still would want him coaching my team, but you know he's gonna take a lot of heat. I mean, you know. It's one thing being outcoached by Bill Belichick, but I mean, he was basically drooling over Bill Belichick in that pregame video. If you get a chance to see it, it's on USA Today. I'm sure you can catch it at YouTube and what have you. But you know, about 40 seconds, coaches greet each other. Belichick is kind of matter of fact. Good luck, do do do. McVay, you know, you're the best, and you know how you change. You know, basically telling Belichick some stuff that he already knows, and Belichick doesn't knows that. He's one of the great coaches of all time. He doesn't need anybody to tell him that. He doesn't need anybody to tell him that, you know, he does a great job at changing the entire, you know, his entire scheme and identity week to week. I mean, he doesn't, he already, this is like stuff that he already knows. So, you know, a lot of people wanted to throw that into the mix. That wasn't why they lost. You know, I think, you know, I think the Rams, when Todd Gurley wasn't going to be at his apex, Rams basically had no chance because you knew, even Todd Gurley was healthy. We've seen New England Patriots take out all pro caliber Ram running back in the Super Bowl before, and that was Marshall Faulk, the year Marshall Faulk was MVP of the league. So Todd Gurley being, I don't know, 70%. 50%, 60%, wherever he was, it was not going to be enough, nowhere near enough to take the pressure off Goff. And again, Goff is a very good player. Goff has a lot. Goff still has a lot to prove. He still has to show me that, you know, you can take away your best running back. You can take away. You can put. You know, he still has to show me that he can win a game by himself. Like Mahomes, we know Mahomes, who was the NFL MVP, is the NFL MVP, is capable of winning games by himself off sheer talent and sheer force of will. He's on that level. Goff has not reached that level. Now, again, I don't, that doesn't mean Goff isn't a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. Doesn't mean golf is a guy that you're gonna pay $25, $30 million to. You're gonna have to. But that means that he can't do it by himself, and that means that he is not going to raise the game of others around him as far as the receivers and what have you. Like, teams are not game planning to shut down Jared Goff. They're gonna dare Jared Goff to beat them, especially once you get to the playoffs and AFC Conference Championships below that level. Again, it was one of the worst offensive performances you'll ever see, but at the same time, I give the majority of the credit to the New England defense. Their best defensive performance in the Super Bowl. Frankly, one of the best defensive performances in the Super Bowl since Tampa Bay, Oakland back in 02. It really was that dominant defensively. And maybe I'll toss the Giants in there. Yeah, I would say the Giants 07. I got to be fair about that. The Giants' defensive performance in 07 was one for the ages, considering that offense they were going against with Brady and prime Tom Brady, prime Randy Moss, Wes Welker. I mean, that Patriot offense was loaded. But again, that this defense, the thing that stood out about this defensive performance was they don't have great talent defensively. I mean, Gilmore was all pro this year. You got, Claiborne's a nice player. Flowers, Trey, I mean, Van Noy. They just got a bunch of guys. They got a bunch of guys who know what they need to do, who don't make mistakes, don't miss coverages, don't get penalties, don't do stuff. They're not lining up offsides. They're not getting pass interference calls. They just don't beat themselves for the most part. And if you're the Rams, you're going to be kicking yourself for a long time because this was not a clean Patriot victory, top to bottom, from start to finish. You had Gostkowski miss a field goal. Brady was not good in this game. Again, this was I did, the Tom Brady idols. I didn't want to hear from him after this game. I didn't want to hear any GOAT conversation. I didn't want to hear, Tom fourth quarter does it again. No. This was about the MVP of this game. The biggest winner of this game was Bill Belichick. This was a Bill Belichick special. This was an old school Belichick, taking Peyton Manning out of, the playoffs 03, 04. This was Belichick taking out, taking out Jim Kelly and Thurman, and not Thurman Thomas, because Thurman Thomas was a beast in that Super Bowl 25, which I still think today, to this day, is the best played Super Bowl ever. But this was, Belichick as a defensive coordinator, the Giants taking out that high-powered Buffalo Bill K-gun offense with Kelly and Andre Reed and James Lofton and guys of that ilk. This was a throwback victory, a throwback Patriot victory. The likes of Willie McGinnis and Ty Law and Bruschi and Vrabel and guys of that nature. So I didn't want to hear about Tom Brady. I'm sorry. I know I get it. Six Super Bowls. Only person in the history with six Super Bowls. He's not the greatest quarterback in my eyes. I'm not gonna do I'm not gonna do that dance, that argument now. But I've already explained to you why I think Montana is still the greatest quarterback. It was not about Tom Brady. That game was not about Tom Brady at all. Tom Brady, did what he had to do in the fourth quarter as far as the game-winning drive, but it was all set up by that defense. And that defense, again, because the Ram defense was almost equal to the task. The Ram defense was tremendous as well. Sue and Larry Donald could not be moved for the most part. And they only got the Brady once as far as sacking him, but as far as pressure, hurries, they made Brady look average in that game. He looked average in that game. And the Ram defense, was lived on the field in the first quarter. I think the time possession was like 11 minutes to 11 and a half minutes to like 3 minutes, something to that nature. So again, you give the Patriots credit. Love them or hate them, the level, the sustainability, the consistency. can't take anything away from him. You know, Brady's definitely in top two or three quarterbacks of all time. You want to say Belichick's the greatest quarterback, greatest coach of all time? I really don't have any problem with it, because he's found a way to stay relevant for the better part of now coming up on 20 years. Six championships in 18 years. And that team, the last two times that team has been counted out, go back to 2014 after, 41-14 against Kansas City, the famous on in Cincinnati, won the Super Bowl that year. Now, again, you know, Pete Carroll had something to do with it with the 1 yard pass play, but they were counted out that year. They won the Super Bowl. This year, I didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl. I didn't think they were going to get to the Super Bowl this year. They did not look good this year. Five losses, December losses, two December losses, lost of some. All their losses came to non-playoff teams, which is just. I know Pittsburgh is basically a playoff team, but that just kind of fell apart. But they had some bad losses, you know, Miami, Tennessee, Detroit. I didn't think New England would win a Super Bowl this year. So you have to give the Patriots all the credit in the world for it. Certainly one of the great dynasties in the history of sports. I would be sick to my stomach if I were a Kansas City Chiefs fan, even more so than New Orleans, because, you know, Kansas City had them beat. They were absolutely defeated. D4 offside penalty with the difference between them getting into the Super Bowl and, you know, that was a difference. That was an absolute difference. The Saints fans, of course, will never stop forever. And you know, even though I don't feel sorry for the Saints, it would have been a much more entertaining game. I mean, Drew, you have to believe that Drew Brees performs much better than Jared Goff in that spot. Again, I don't think New England would have lost to the Saints either. They would have found a way to take out Michael Thomas, to shut down Ingram and Kamara in the running game. But you much rather have Drew Brees having to beat you rather than Jared Goff having to single-handedly beat you. You know, one is a future Hall of Famer. And again, I'm not down on Goff. I came into the postseason, came into this season saying Goff still had to. We know Goff is a franchise talent, but he still had to prove that he can take his team, that he, you know, could be that dude that could take his team to a championship. And he came close. Came close. Came very close. And he's only 24 years old. But there's a lot to be said of playing in that game at that age. It's the reason why not too many guys that age have played in that game and been successful. Reason why Tom Brady has destroyed quarterbacks 25 and under. I think he's like 7-0. The guys that beat Brady, Eli Manning's, Joe Flacco's of the world, Peyton Manning's. Veteran guys that have been around the block. So that's when, you know, put a bow on the Super Bowl. I don't get too caught up in the ratings for the Super Bowl. It's still going to be the highest paid, the highest watched, the most watched program of the entire year by far. A lot of platforms, a lot of ways you can consume television now. So it's not going to look as, not going to be the same as last year or 5 years ago. A lot of people were down the game as far as the style. Again, what I don't like in football is sloppiness and horrible officiating. Now, again, the Rams got a bad whistle on a call. There was 3-3 in the fourth quarter. I want to say 3-3 in the fourth quarter. They had just got a stop. Looked like they had momentum, and they called a 13-yard girly run, called a 13-yard Todd Gurley run back that would have resulted in first and 10 at the New England I want to say 47. So 13-yard run, they were on their own 43, so 7. And then first and 10 at the New England 44. Instead, it's first and 20 at their own 33. And they didn't recover from that penalty at all. That was a big call in that game. It's a big call. Game was tied. Rams had momentum. Think to yourself, oh, Todd Gurley just broke one off. He's going to be, he's headed towards, maybe having a big fourth quarter. But the thing I can't stand about games is horrible officiating and sloppy play. And it wasn't a sloppy game. A couple missed calls there and there. Not a, 12 penalties, which, you can live with that number, 12 total. You can live with that number. But again, the defense was unbelievable. The defense was unreal. How good those defenses were. And get a Rams defense a lot of credit. Get a Rams defense a lot of credit. Because there were plenty of times that they could have broke, considering that their offense was doing nothing. Not next to nothing, but doing absolutely nothing. And the heat Sean McVay is taking, when you don't play, when you get shut down by a defense that New England defense is not a great defense. It was just outright scheming. And they talked about the fact that they used some of the stuff that Detroit and Patricia used against them when Detroit almost beat them earlier in the season. If you're McVay, I think you gotta kind of see some, gotta kind of see that coming. You played them earlier to build, the Belichick Patricia connection. You struggled against them. So I don't didn't seem like he was much didn't seem like he was ready for that, for whatever reason. For whatever reason. A lot of question marks in the NFL this season. We mentioned one in the offseason, just mentioned one of them where Nick Foles will end up. Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. You have a, of course, the draft coming up in a couple months. So a lot of question marks from that standpoint in terms of player movement. But in the immortal worlds of D'Angelo Barksdale, the Kings, State of Kings, and again after another year of NFL football, the 99th season, the New England Patriots are at the top of the heap. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. Hopefully, I'll be able to do an emergency podcast Friday saying that the Lakers got Anthony Davis. I doubt it happened. I doubt that will happen. So I will see you next time. As always, this is the Real Deal Podcast, telling like it is with no apologies. Thanks for listening.